The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Friday, 8th day of May 2020. And we had to rearrange the schedule for our guest today. He had some highly personal and must-do stuff yesterday, so he rescheduled for today. His name is Bill Bullard. He was brought to my attention by Mark Anderson, that has a program on this network, and what these guys are doing. And the more I'm hearing, the more I'm reading, I thought, you know what? I need to get this guy on the program. Let me give you a little background. RCAF USA, and that is www.r-calfusa.com. This is a rancher cattleman action legal fund, United Stock Growers of America. The largest producer-only membership-based organization and exclusively represents U.S. cattle and sheep producers on domestic and international trade and marketing issues. RCAF USA, a national nonprofit organization, it dedicates itself to ensuring the continued profitability and viability of the U.S. cattle industry. RCAF USA's membership of more than 5,000 consists primarily of cow/calf producers. Cattle backgrounders, feeders, its members are located in 43 states. An organization has many local and state association affiliates from both cattle and farm organizations as well, along with various Main Street businesses as associate members of their organization. It began back in 1998 when three independent cattle producers launched an anti-dumping lawsuit against trading partners Canada and Mexico, accusing them of exporting their products below market price and production cost in the United States. The group successfully convinced the U.S. Department of Commerce to implement anti-dumping tariffs against Canada. A year later, RCAF USA was officially formed into a membership-based organization. Since its inception, RCAF USA has profoundly impacted the U.S. live cattle industry. In an industry dominated by four meat packers controlling every aspect and unjust trade agreement, RCAF USA quickly rose to become a national voice for independent cow-calf producers and feeders across America. Now, they encourage producers to get involved and make their collective voice heard. This is the single largest producer-only organization fighting to bring back mandatory country of origin labeling, fighting to stop anti-competitive and unjust practices by the packers, to prevent high-risk imports from countries with disease outbreaks, fighting to allow U.S. cattle producers to promote their USA beef within the beef checkoff program and make the program voluntary. RCAF USA is solely funded by membership dues and donations. They don't have their hands out to the United States government. I have with me Bill Bullard. Bill, this is one heck of a fight that needed to take place, wasn't it?
Well, it certainly is, and it's really coming to light right now to where not only has the problems that we've been attempting to address the last 20 years directly impacted the independent farmers and ranchers, the family farm operations that support rural communities, they've been harmed for the past 20 years, but only recently, as a result of the COVID-19, has the public realized how they too have been harmed by the same market structure, the same dysfunctional marketplace that our producers have been operating in. So we're hopeful that now that consumers are aware of the systemic problems in our industry, that we might have an opportunity to restore the competitive market forces that would allow our industry to once again thrive and prosper and to continue providing consumers with a safe, abundant, and affordable food supply, which they now realize is at risk because of the track that we've allowed our food system to follow during the past several decades.
Now, in that just a little about section to give people a background on who and what you people are, what you've been doing, what you've accomplished, what you hope to accomplish in the future, you have in that statement, there are four major producers inside this country. Two of them are Chinese, which leaves two American companies. But I was watching Fox News yesterday, and I saw one of these talking heads interviewing some mundane, never seen or heard from congressman out of Washington, D.C. And during this, the Congress critter offers the suggestion that, well, you know, there's only four producers inside the United States and two are Chinese. And the talking head didn't take that as a talking point to drill down further on it. If we're talking about a system, and whether you're growing beets or you're growing cows or whatever the case may be, any anti-competitive stuff out there. In other words, Bill, what I'm trying to say is the more people in the game, the more producers in the game, independent, big and small, the better off the market is going to be with price structuring, delivering of product, on the story goes. What do you say about this anti-competitive nature that two companies control the American beef producers in this country?
Yes. So first, what you said is absolutely correct. And it wasn't very long ago, half a lifetime ago, we had hundreds of thousands of more independent cattle producers. We had tens of thousands of more independent feedlots. And we had hundreds of more meat packers. That was the family farm system of agriculture that has earned the reputation of being absolutely the envy of the world for being the most efficient and reliable food system, bar none, ever devised. That was the United States system.
Okay, so how did they manage to screw up perfection?
Well, because the government turned over the food supply chain over to a handful of global multinational corporations and said, shape this industry in the way that you want to shape it. That's exactly what they've done for the past 20 years. They've shaped it to maximize their corporate profits. They have ignored the need for resiliency and redundancy in a food system. They've ignored their responsibility as a participant in the food system to ensure that we could withstand a crisis, that there was flexibility built in, that we could serve the national security interests of America. We have failed miserably because we have lost sight of the need to protect and preserve the family farm system of agriculture. We just turned it over to the multinational corporations, and now we see in two sectors, the livestock sectors, the poultry and the hog industry, for example, those industries have been completely captured by the multinational corporations. They control them from egg to plate or birth to plate, respectively. So the cattle industry is the last livestock sector in America not to be completely controlled by the meat packers yet. And as you indicated, there are four meat packers that control 85% of the marketplace for the cattle that are reared specifically to produce beef. Those four packers are Tyson, JBS, Cargill, and National Beef. Now, JBS is a Brazilian firm, and our fourth largest packer, National Beef Packing Company, was recently acquired. A majority interest was acquired by Marfrig, another Brazilian firm. So in the hog industry, the single largest pork producer is Smithfield Farms. That is owned by Communist China. That is a Chinese entity. In the cattle industry, two of the four highly concentrated meat packers are Brazilian owned and or controlled. So we simply lost sight of what is needed to preserve the national security interests of America, the national food interests of America, and food safety.
Well, Bill, I appreciate you taking the onus on the responsibility for the cattle growers themselves for the condition they find themselves in. But, hey, I want to know from you, whose madcap idea was it to turn this over to the globalist, internationalist, we want to control you?
Well, that was our Congress, and that was the past administrations, and that started in 1995 when the United States, in its infinite wisdom, decided to cede its constitutional sovereignty over to this international tribunal called the World Trade Organization. We entered the World Trade Organization in 1995. Since that time, the United States has been systematically lowering its health and safety import standards because its new goal was no longer to preserve and protect the nation's food supply. Now it was to facilitate as many imports from countries that could produce it cheaper as possible. So since 1995, for example, we relaxed the requirement that foreign meatpacking plants used to have a food safety standard that was at least equal to that of the United States. We relaxed that standard, said it was too tough for these developing countries to meet our standards. So now they only need to be close enough under what's called an equivalency standard. We used to have a standard that said we would not import from countries where pernicious diseases that were transferable to humans, like mad cow disease, for example, and diseases that were highly contagious with cattle, like foot and mouth disease. The United States used to maintain stringent import restrictions, preventing any imports from those kind of countries. Well, in 1997, we decided to relax those. We decided that we would arbitrarily carve out a area within a country that is has a disease problem, and we will declare that area free and continue to allow the country to export to the United States. So we have put our food industry at risk, and you ask who did it? It was Congress. It was the past administrations. It was everyone who has and continues to support the World Trade Organization, which is an international tribunal, unelected, unappointed, consisting of many developing country representatives who then are allowed and authorized to essentially pass judgment over laws that the United States has passed under its U.S. Constitution. This was a crazy idea. 40 years ago, we would have been laughed off the radio if you were said that this is what we were going to do. We were going to enter this tremendously liberal type government, global government program. You just wouldn't even have thought of it 40 years ago. 25 years ago, we did it. And here we are today allowing these international tribunals to dictate how the government should operate. And these tribunals have been facilitating this notion that we should rely upon whatever country can produce the food product the cheapest and then import that product into your country. And if your farmers and ranchers in the United States can't continue to produce at that cheap level, then they should find something else to do with those resources.
Well, and
that's the mentality that's driven up.
And Bill, you know, a lot of people, it's obvious to me, I mean, it jumps out of the bush and bites you on your backside. What this is from these organizations, now you mentioned the World Trade Organization. Well, there's another organization that came to light just recently, and that's the World Health Organization, which I just simply call in the World Whore Organization. But this is central planning. As you said, unelected bureaucrats in a land far, far away, a galaxy far, far away, and they're making decisions that affect what people do in this country and how they conduct themselves. I mean, it used to be, Bill, you went into a store, you looked at a piece of beef, and hey, to some people that was always a luxury item for a high cut of beef there, but you used to have this little bluish-purpley stamp on it called the USDA, and that stood for the United States Department of Agriculture. That was their inspection stamp. I can't tell you the last time I saw one of those.
Well, and that's a perfect example, because the United States passed a mandatory country of origin labeling law in 2002. The law covered fish and shellfish, fresh fruits and vegetables, peanuts, macadamia nuts, ginseng, and pecans, and it included beef, pork, chicken, lamb, and goat meat. So while consumers have always had the opportunity to view a label on their undershirts and clothing and tools stating where the product was produced, only since 2002 were they able to know from what country their food was produced. And we had begun to import more and more food products from around the world. In fact, in the case of beef, for example, we import beef from 20 different countries, including Uruguay, Argentina, Brazil, Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Australia, New Zealand, Mexico, Canada, total of 20, and even Namibia, Africa. So 20 different countries.
Why?
And, well, why? Because this follows the WTO globalist mindset that says we need to facilitate as much imports of these products wherever they can produce it the cheapest. The theory goes that if you import more cheaper, undifferentiated products, you will provide the consumer with more choices, and consumer welfare will benefit because their cost of food will go down. We see that's exactly what does not happen, that when we import large volumes of beef product, the effect is to leverage down domestic prices paid to U.S. cattle producers, and yet the consumer continues to pay increasing prices for beef, because they cannot distinguish the imported product from the domestic product, even though the imported product was much cheaper. And so we had the law, and it was the World Trade Organization that directed our Congress to repeal country of origin labeling for beef and pork.
It's kind of
that
what
occurred in December of 2015.
It's kind of what they did with the Glass-Steagall Act and the banking fiasco we went through back in 2008. Oh, we don't need that anymore. Let's throw that out the door. And then where are they when the repercussions of their bad decisions happen? And where's our redress to pull these little cretins out of their seats to say, what are you doing destroying my life? What are you doing destroying my business? And I'm not talking about COVID-19 right now. I'm talking about their overregulation, their permission slip to globalize a market that was protected in this country, but not protected in the way that people might think. They weren't anti-competition. This was for the health and well-being of the human beings that ate the product and the product itself that we eat, namely the cows, the pigs, the chickens, and so on and so forth.
Right.
What in the hell, Bill? What?
Well, it's a mess. It's a mess. But however, we know that the entire framework, the legal framework and policy framework within which our industry functions, that entire framework has been devised and created by the multinational meat packers with the help of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So they've locked in their ability to maximize profits, and they've locked out competition. And the country of origin labeling is a good issue, because they know that the USDA inspection sticker that you talked about, that sticker goes on beef regardless of whether it was imported from a foreign country or if it was produced right here in America. And because it says USDA inspection on it, consumers would automatically equate that
it's an American product,
a country of origin label.
Yeah.
But we import 3.2 billion pounds of beef every year from about 20 foreign countries, and all of that has a USDA inspection sticker on it. And even worse, under current law, now that Congress saw fit to repeal mandatory country of origin labeling for beef, under current law, a product from Uruguay or Costa Rica, for example, can enter the United States in a big 80-pound box. They can take it out of the 80-pound box and put it in 40-pound boxes, throw away the Uruguayan and Costa Rican label, and put product of USA on it.
Well, isn't that just special? Isn't that just creative thinking? Yeah. All right, Bill Bullard's my guest. The website, folks, r-calfusa.com. Let's take this break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Yeah. What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than 2 of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens. By the way, folks, you may want to go to rcaf, that's r-cafusa.com, bookmark that, because we are going to have supply chain interruptus for quite some time to come. And what they do is they, on this site, I just listened to their weekly address. That was the May 6, 2020. And very informative, keeps you up to date, current with all of what is happening here. Now, Bill Bullard, I have a friend that's a cattle grower. He's up in Missouri. At least I think he's a friend. I don't know. But he's locked down over this COVID thing. He thought that this was going to kill millions and, you know, the game is on. Well, I was talking to him and he told me, he said, look, I took some cows to market. I only got pennies on the pound. I think he said at the time, I'm trying to remember, but it was way less than $1 a pound. Right. And I'm thinking to myself, and he's telling me, he said, look, I can't feed these cows. It's costing me just to feed these cows. I am at negative profit on these. And I had somebody call in and go, well, I don't know what this guy's talking about, because I know, because I went down to the auction and I got $1.60 or $1.70 a pound. What are these producers getting pound on the hoof, the best number you can give?
Well, up until just the last couple of days, they've been getting about $95 for every 100 pounds of a fed animal.
Okay.
So they typically sell a 1,300 to 1,400-pound animal. They receive less than a dollar. And yet, the wholesale price of the beef that's derived from those animals, the beef price has hit an all-time record high of over $400 per 100 weight.
Okay, so that's...
And so what is that?
Okay, so, okay, break that down. You're giving me the hundreds. I want it per pound. I did the math on the 100 pounds. That's 95 cents a pound. Okay.
So your fresh retail beef price that consumers paying in the grocery store is about $6 per pound.
Okay.
That's the average for all the beef cuts that you get out of an animal, fresh beef price, approximately $6. So that's a record to near record level that they're paying for beef right now. And yet the cattle producer is receiving prices under a dollar. And those prices are where the cattle producer was 10 years ago, when consumers were paying beef prices more like $3.50 a pound instead of $6. So the cattle producer's price still stays where it was a decade ago. Consumers, however, are being exploited by paying record to near record prices for beef.
Well, okay. $6. Now, is that $6? Is that the cost to the retailer, or is that the cost that the consumer actually pays for the packaged product?
That's the price that the consumer actually pays for the packaged product,
okay,
on average.
All right. Well, then there's something wrong in math land, because I was just at the store a couple of days ago, and I was window shopping only. I'm looking at steaks. I saw a New York strip steak. Nothing special about it. I think it might have been, if anything at all, it was grass-fed beef. But it was $13.50 for a pound of strip steak, $13.50. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, wait a minute. If these guys are getting 95 cents a pound at the auction, that's what they're getting paid. And then we got the retailer that I don't know exactly what he's paying for that steak. Okay, when we say beef, beef is a lot of things. It's hamburger, whether you like 80% and 20% fat, or you like the sirloin that's very little fat, or whatever the case may be. That's just an average number, but that's not what these retailers are selling the stuff from. I have a friend out in Arizona, Michael Herzog. He admitted to me, he said, John, he said, I splurge. He says, once a week, he says, I like to have a ribeye steak. He said, I went to the same store that I've been going to. A steak was $23 for a ribeye. Nothing spectacular about it. So we have this pricing disparity. But, Bill, I'm looking at this, and I'm going, wait a minute here. These private or smaller producers cannot possibly survive. They are going to go out of business. And what the result of that is, that leaves more of the marketplace for these internationalists to add to their bottom line by sucking up the vacuum that's left by these bankrupted beef growers. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. So the cattle industry, we still have about 750,000 independent cattle producers scattered all across America. It's the largest single segment of American agriculture. And we still have the remnants of a competitive industry sufficient to where we could rebuild competition if we could provide or get rid of the manipulation that we allege is occurring in the marketplace. But we stand the risk of losing the critical mass of those producers almost overnight as a result of the continued disparity in the marketplace, with consumers paying near-record prices of beef and producers getting paid depressed prices of beef below their cost of production. And they're not going to be able to make their loan payments. They're not going to be able to make their mortgages.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to replenish their feedlot.
Yeah. Hang on one second. I've got this bottom of the hour break I've got to do. 800-313-9443. If you have a specific question to Mr. Bullard.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are back talking with Bill Bullard today. They're running a crack on, I mean, an absolutely spot-on website, folks, RCAF USA. They're tackling the issue here of what is this anti-competitive stuff that we've got. If you take a look at their website, as I mentioned, they do their weekly address. They do one of these each week. And I'm sitting here during the break listening to the is competition driving cattle prices. And a lot of information is gleaned here. Folks, you're going to want to know in the coming months, because you're only starting to see the shortages now. Wendy's hamburgers. Well, a lot of Wendy's hamburger joints aren't selling beef anymore. They'll sell you the pseudo beef like Burger Barf did initially. And the only way that that came out tasting like beef is because they already grilled flame-broiled real hamburger beef on that very same grill, so it imparts some of the flavor to it. But aside from that, what we're talking about here is an anti-competitive market stacked against the American farmer. And I was absolutely shocked when I started to really delve into this, to realize how fixed this really was by the internationalists. But what's more astounding is under the past administration. Some called him Barry Sartorio. Some called him President Obama. I called him a communist mistake in the White House. But that's just my personal political opinion there, not yours. But I'm looking at this and I'm going, wait a minute here. We're the ones that really are not, I don't like the term, Bill, capitalist or capitalism. We are free market, independent. If I've got a product or a service, I'm going to do my level best to bring it to market. Competition out there. And I don't care if you're building a car or selling a damn burger at a burger joint. Competition makes the whole consumer experience better because they're going to compete for marketplace. They're going to compete for the customer. They're going to offer the best product at the lowest price. That's the way it used to work. Now we're in everything is rigged land, and we are supposed to try to figure this out and find our way around it. There's no getting around this, is there, Bill?
And we didn't get here overnight either. So this has taken several decades for the United States regulators, the government, to essentially ignore the needed enforcement of our nearly 100-year-old antitrust laws, Sherman Act, Clayton Act, Packers and Stockyards Act. Those were passed 100 years ago or so ago. And we've allowed them to collect dust on the shelves, and we've let these corporations, these globalists, continue to merge and acquire. We went through a period in our cattle industry, we called it merger mania in the 80s and 90s, because that's when the big globalists gobbled up all of the local and regional plants and left us with four packers controlling 85% of the market. So that was happening, and there was no enforcement of antitrust laws because of the belief that, well, the market is self-correcting. It will fix itself. It's a hands-off. We're not going to mess with this, and the global corporations are going to just sort this all out. And so we've allowed our industry to become skeletonized. We've reduced it to bare bones, and we've reduced it to the point now where if any one of the packing plants owned by these four huge companies, if anyone closes or if anyone slows down, you cause disruptions along the entire food supply chain.
And
that's what we're seeing. So the answer, of course, is we have to begin enforcing our antitrust laws, because had they been enforced, we would not be in the state of affairs that we're in today. So in 2016, right after the country of origin labeling was repealed in 2015, then in early 2015, we saw cattle prices collapse. And they fell further and faster than in any time in history. And at the same time, we saw consumer beef prices continue to rise. So we asked the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee to do an investigation to determine if we needed to enforce our antitrust laws. And they conducted an investigation, came out with a report in 2018 and said, well, the U.S. Department of Agriculture didn't have subpoena power. So we really can't address whether any anti-competitive conduct was occurring in the marketplace.
Does that sound like a political answer to you or what?
So then we filed a complaint with the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, alleging that we needed a thorough probing investigation to determine the cause of the anomalies occurring in the marketplace, where consumers continued, their prices were trending upward and cattle producer prices were trending downward. And so nothing happened. And so in April of 2019, a little over a year ago today, the members of RCAF USA, the Independent Family Farmers and Ranchers, stepped to the plate, and we filed a historic class action antitrust lawsuit alleging that the big four beef packers, Tyson, JBS, Cargill, and National Beef Packing Company, that the four of those entities, we allege they colluded. We allege that they conspired in violation of our antitrust laws to artificially depress prices paid to producers while simultaneously inflating their own profits and margins. So we recognized our industry was in a crisis long before the COVID-19. But more than that, we recognized that Congress and the administration both were disinclined to take action. And so what do you do when your government doesn't protect your marketplace? Well, the answer is you either do it yourself or it doesn't get done.
Well, wait a minute. Bill, let me back you up on that one. The government that doesn't protect our industry. Wait a minute. It was the government that screwed it up in the first place. So all we're asking them to do is not to entrench themselves in their stupidity, but undo the stupidity that they have already done.
Granted, yes. Yeah. But the important thing is it now does need to be undone, because we have been on this trajectory for so long that, and now, as a result of COVID-19, we know without any doubt whatsoever that our food safety system, our food security system is broken, fundamentally broken, and has to be rebuilt.
Okay, well, on the issue here.
That's where we have to start.
Okay, I don't want to have you on for that. I only scheduled you out for an hour. I'm sure you're a retired farmer, but you're probably busier now than you were when you were actually farming. But you're the guy, evidently, and this, I see this happen, Bill, more and more, that people that heretofore would not take up the mantle to say, look, I see something's wrong here. I can sit and complain about it. I can do a lot of different things, but I'm not going to roll up my sleeves and get involved. You, my dear sir, did exactly that. Now, you're in 43 of the 50 states right now, and I have no doubt whatsoever by the end of the year you're going to have all 50 states. You are in there fighting the battles, trying to undo the wrong that has been done. And people, now, you're not going to hear an interview. When was the last time you were interviewed by a large mainstream media outlet, Bill?
It's been a while.
Yeah. And I can guarantee you it's going to be a while longer. Please don't hold your breath, because, you know, I'm sure you don't look good in a blue color.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's. One thing that I wanted to bring up before I take calls here. Now, we have a supply chain. It's broken. But what I'm hearing is these, it's one thing to be a packer, okay? Now, there's a couple of different avenues in meat packing. One for commercial, restaurant, food outlets, grocery stores, meat markets, so on and so forth. And then there's the other one that it's more geared toward consumer. But what I'm being told is these two remaining packers, they're saying that, well, there's beef shortages because we can't package. You said they were down to 70%, but these two companies don't have the ability to do that individual packaging for resale, do they?
Well, that's what they claim is the reason that their distribution system broke down,
right?
Because they had to shift from restaurant to grocery stores, and they had no blueprint to do that.
They didn't have the equipment. They didn't know how to. Yep. In other words,
yep. Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Folks. The COVID-19, we don't have any workers, so we had to shut down. Excuse me? I'm looking at the COVID-19 numbers. None of this stuff is adding up. None of it, Bill. And all I'm seeing is a lot of smoke being blown. I'm seeing an overreaction, knee-jerk, to something that wasn't an issue in the first place, because they were looking at bad models and predicting how many people are going to die of the coronavirus. They did this worldwide. This was their beta test. There has never in the history of this country been anything like this. Shutting down markets worldwide. Shutting down businesses worldwide. Bill, you've been around the block a few times. You got a few miles on your odometer. What's your thoughts on this one?
Well, I think we're going to be reading the history books about this for a long time. And so the important thing to do for now is to rebuild America. We don't know what shape we will be in a week from today or 2 weeks from today. What we do know is we know the weaknesses in our economy. We know where we need to begin to focus. And we need to roll up our sleeves, like you said, and get right to work. And one thing that your listeners can do right now to help the American family cattle farmer and rancher is go and sign a petition that we have now over almost 350,000 consumers and producers signed on, and it's calling on Congress and the President to restore mandatory country of origin labeling for all beef, pork, and dairy products sold in America, so the American consumer can begin to support the American producer, and so the American producer can begin to compete in their own marketplace. And that's one of the first steps we can take to rebuilding America after we get through this unprecedented, never-before-experienced event that we're in now. And we will be talking and reading about this as well as our children and grandchildren for years to come.
We just simply refer to it as the plandemic around here. Well, let's go to the phones here with Mr. Bill Bullard. Let's go to Mark in Georgia. Mark in Georgia dropped. Okay, folks. You get on the call list. Don't want me mad at you. Don't drop. If you got something more important to do, don't bother calling in. Laura in Michigan. Hello, Laura.
Hello, John. I was going to ask a question. Does ISO have anything to do with this, International Standards Organization?
Is that a question?
Anything to do with the beef?
Okay, I'm not yeah. I'm not getting here yet, Laura. Go ahead, Bill. Do you know what she's saying?
Well, the ISO, the ISO standards. ISO. Yeah, so they apply in some areas that we deal with. For example, the government wants to force all producers to use a radio frequency identification device in every one of their animals and report to the government where they move. So the ISO standards apply to the standards that must be met in order to achieve the level of mandatory compliance the government's trying to impose on producers. We filed a lawsuit and broke the chain there because USDA had to back off because it was unlawful for them to try to mandate that. But that's where the ISO has come into play. I'm not aware that the ISO has affected the inability to have a product of origin label, country of origin label on your beef. I think this was all politics. This was pure politics, pure pressure. It was the multinational meat packers, along with the foreign countries who want unlimited access to our marketplace. They joined together, and they convinced Congress to essentially give up on the U.S. cattle producer and U.S. consumer.
Laura?
I've got a quick story. The farmer near me, he raises Piedmontese beef, and of course, it's grass-fed organic low. You get it more of a premium price. Well, somebody from PETA, you know, animal lover, when the cattle were up in the lot, somebody let them out. So of course now the farmer can't get he's not certified organic now because he didn't know where the cattle were or what they had eaten or anything. So the price just went right down. That's the kind of things they put up with. Some do-gooder thought he was saving the cattle.
Well,
have you ever heard of that before it happened?
We have heard those kinds of stories, yes. And that's a growing concern, continuing concern, yes.
All right. Laura, I thank you for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Whoa. I don't know what that was. Are you still there, Bill?
Yes.
Okay. I just heard it sounded like a tornado just went through your house there. was I pretty much right in the statement that you're busier now than you were before when you were a cattleman or a rancher?
Yes. we have been extremely busy in trying to reformulate the policies that have been dismantled that once provided the foundations for a thriving family farm system of agriculture in America. And we've systematically destroyed it. And so we've been fighting to bring it back. In fact, over the course of 20 years, perhaps the greatest achievement that we have accomplished on behalf of our producers and the consumers who rely upon our hardworking family farmers and ranchers, perhaps the greatest accomplishment is we haven't allowed the meat packers to take over our industry already, like they have already done in the poultry and hog industries that are, as I said, completely controlled by the multinational corporations.
And
they haven't got it done in our industry yet.
This is an absolute tragedy. I mean, look, you know, trade imbalances. I mean, people were aghast. A lot of people in this country didn't even know when Trump took office. One of his deals was, you know, we got this little trade imbalance with China, you know, $400-600 billion a year. You know, we're sending this stuff out and they're closing their markets, or there's tariffs or some kind of bureaucratic red tape thrown at us. But we're allowing all the Chinese stuff to come into this country, no big deal. Put it on the shelves, whether it's perishable or non-perishable items, doesn't matter. China's into everything. Then we discover that, well, the prescription drug industry is 85% based in China. There's all of these things that should be in our control, not just for quality, but for competitive pricing. No, it doesn't exist. Let's take this last break. We'll come back. I'll take one more call for our guest today. And then we'll remind you folks that, yeah, you, a little individual guy that isn't involved in the cattle industry at all, can also sign this petition. All hands on deck on this one, folks. Take a few minutes. Do it. It's important.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s, along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea when we started out at school? That's what they said the Constitution was.
Now, in the days that the schools used to teach the Constitution, that's what it was about, but no more. Let me go to Tom in Utah. Hello, Tom.
Hi, John, and hi, Bill. Thank you for your work, Bill. Believe it or not, John, even though I, for my health reasons, I avoid my product that I used to produce. But my family, the Millers, sold off their operation in northern Utah to Smithfield. Of course, I ask them, I challenge them, I say, why did you do that? We cannot afford to compete. And of course, I've been entangled with their labor issues. You know, a lot of the labor is Latin American. And I got involved with a housing situation that, you know, injured their workers.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I wanted to ask you, I labored for Ezra Taft Benson back in the 50s and 60s.
Okay, Tom, we have limited time here, Tom. Please get to your point and your question.
What I wanted to find out was, how was the levels of inspection? I had to analyze or monitor every animal. And as I understand,
and
now
that's supposed
doing
to be
spot checks.
Well, because of the COVID-19, they've had to scale back, but that's still a requirement to do anti-mortem, post-mortem inspections of all animals. But the important point is, for the imported products in the importing countries, we no longer require monthly inspections of those foreign meatpacking plants. Now they only
that's
need to be periodic. And so that's why we need country of origin labeling for food safety.
Yeah, the foreign packers, we don't have control over what product they're selling us.
Yes, yes.
All right.
And the Smithfield that bought your firm was then subsequently purchased by JBF, the world's largest meat packer out of Brazil.
I was shocked when I found out. I liked Smithfield bacon, but I can tell you right now, I'm never going to buy another package of their bacon. I'm going to support what's left of American business. This is astounding to me. It's just absolutely, I knew that there was a problem with the cattle growers and distribution and all that stuff, but I did not understand the true depth of this and how long it's been going on. Mark in Georgia, you got about a minute here. Go.
Howdy, I'm calling from the pit of the Peach State. Did you know that the name Georgia comes from the Greek word for farmer?
Wasn't aware of that. Wasn't aware of that.
Yes, well, I'm all for a Leviticus 25 Jubilee. What do you think about my I don't know if you know that basically when I was a very tiny child, my grandfather on my mother's side took us out for a ride on his mule cart. He hitched up his mule and took us for a ride around his 40 acres. So my grandfather literally had 40 acres and a mule. And I believe that what we need is to reinstate the family farm, the farms that were stolen from us by the plutocratically contrived Great Depression. I take it you'd be in agreement that we need to bring back the family farms, not these huge mega corporate farms, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Reinstate competition.
That's what equals out the playing field for everybody. And again, competition brings the best product to market. It gives the consumer the choice, and that's what's been taken away from these guys. All right, we're out of time here. Bill Bullard, again, thank you for what you're doing. Nobody else is doing this, and if they are, not on this scale. I thank you so much. Bookmark their r-calf, calfusa.com. Bookmark that because you're going to want to refer to it. They got weekly updates. Folks, we got some supplius interruptus coming our way in the next several months, so pay attention to this. And Bill, my personal thanks for you for doing this.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right, Bill. All right, that'll do it for this segment. Hour two coming up. Don't go away, folks, because it's going to be interesting. We'll be back.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202 202- 877-577-5715 or contact RVN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.